Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We have a regular series here on Issues Etc., Christ in the Old Testament. And today it takes us to the very first chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, everybody knows the name Jeremiah. It just kind of rolls off the tongue. Most people can locate him in the Old Testament someplace. But beyond that, someone might say, well, yeah, isn't he the crying prophet, the weeping prophet, something like that? Well, why? What do we need to know about the times of this prophet to whom the word of the Lord comes, assuring him that even before he was created, even before he was born, God knew him in this call of Jeremiah? What do we need to know about why God called this man to speak this word, wherein we find Christ in the Old Testament to ancient Israel? We'll be answering that question on this Thursday afternoon, January the 28th. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
So bring us up to date on the world into which the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, the one who's called here and known from the womb by God. What's going on in ancient Israel that makes Jeremiah's call necessary?
Well, this time period here is a 7th century B.C., this is about 100 years or so after the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel, who was already laid to waste by the Assyrian Empire. Now, in the days of Jeremiah, you have the coming and the building up of the Babylonian Empire, and they are on the prowl, and they're on the march, and they're coming to Jerusalem to level it. They'll topple the temple and overthrow the throne of David. And Jeremiah is kind of living through this transition of right before Babylon is going to destroy Jerusalem. He's a very unpopular prophet because he's talking about doom and gloom for the eternal city of God. He's telling them that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed because the people have forsaken Yahweh, and therefore Yahweh will forsake them. They want to worship these false gods in the ways of their contemporaries. Well, God will hand them over to their contemporaries, and they can go to another land and worship all the false gods they want to. And so he's not a very popular prophet during the reigns of these kings. You see this whole list of kings that he is preaching under. You have Josiah, you have Jehoiakim, you have these kings of Judah, and then, of course, you end up with Zedekiah. And all of these kings are leading up to that captivity in Jerusalem, and Jeremiah's preaching that you'll be taken away, the city will be destroyed, they won't listen, and then Jeremiah's around to see it happen. And that's why he's called the weeping prophet, because he continues to preach, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will not listen. You know, how many times the Lord sends these prophets that they would gather under his wings, but they would not come. And so Jeremiah is his weeping prophet because he knows the destruction will take place, and there's no averting this doom.
Okay, so we kind of rewind to the so-called call of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, and it begins, or at least there in the fourth verse, it begins as many prophetic careers begin. Now the word of Yahweh came to me saying, you say we find Christ there. How is that?
Well, a couple of things here. First of all, we want to understand this historical setting, because this is God who comes to humanity in time. So the eternal God enters into history. And just like when we confess the creed of Christ, that we believe in Christ who suffered under Pontius Pilate, we tag that as a certain time period because this is a historical reality. Well, likewise, this is a historical reality when the Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the eternal Logos, comes to Jeremiah, and he is going to put him and place him into this office, this prophetic office, and he will send him. And you have this whole language of the word of Yahweh came to me saying. And right there in verse 4, this understanding that the word is going to speak, and the word speaks as Yahweh himself. So this is a speaking word. Again, this is not just the concept of an abstract idea of a word somewhere in the mind of Jeremiah, but actually in reality, the word comes to him and the word himself, second person of the Holy Trinity, speaks and says, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. I consecrated you before you were born. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And so here the word of Yahweh is speaking to Jeremiah in verse 4, and you look and you follow the response of Jeremiah to the word, and Jeremiah himself calls the word of Yahweh Adonai Yahweh, Lord God. And Jeremiah responds as, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. And then again, clearly the text tells us that the word of Yahweh is Yahweh himself. So when the word speaks, the text tells us that Yahweh is speaking. Yahweh said to me, do not say I am only a youth. Now you'll see this pattern again and again in this chapter, that the word comes and the word speaks. The word is saying these things because he is Yahweh himself. You'll see this later on in verse 11. The word of Yahweh came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And you have this conversation, this dialogue with Jeremiah, and Jeremiah responds, well, I see an almond branch. And then the word of Yahweh spoke to Jeremiah in response, and it says, Yahweh said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. And then in verse 13, again, the word of Yahweh came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And this is the word of Yahweh speaking. And in verse 14, it makes it clear, Yahweh said to me, out of the north disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. And throughout this whole call narrative, you have the word of Yahweh, who is Yahweh, second person of the Holy Trinity, who comes to Jeremiah repetitively. You see this in verses 2 through 3, that the word of Yahweh came to me in the days of these kings, these historical accounts, this time period of Josiah, of Jehoiakim, of Zedekiah. During these reigns, the word comes to me. And so that's the word, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Christ himself, pre-incarnate.
Also, he mentions there, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. He's speaking there about this act of creation. He's not only appointing him before he's born, but he's the one who brings him forth in the womb. Is Christ there also in that act of creation?
So whenever we see the act of creation, this is an act where Christ is present. Christ was eternal, or is eternal, not was, but is eternal. He was in the beginning with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he calls things that are not as though they are. And so here he is speaking of Jeremiah knowing him before he was even in the womb, before he was even born. But this understanding that he is the one who created, he's the one who formed, he is the one who did this. Now, we know in John chapter 1, this direct connection here that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So when you have the Word speaking and the Word saying, I formed you in the womb, this is the act of creation, that this is none other than the second person of the Holy Trinity, the pre-incarnate Christ, who is the one who formed and made all things, because nothing came into existence apart from him.
Then there is the sending and the appointing of the prophet, wherein you say we find Christ himself. How is that?
Well, this is something that's extremely important for us to understand throughout the Old Testament. You have an office of priest and prophet. You have one who is placed into this office. This is, of course, going to be a human being. This is going to be one who will stand in the stead of God, one who will be a mediator. The priest, of course, he stands between God and the people's sins when he makes the satisfaction with the sacrifices, and that's always going to be a picture of Christ. So here Jeremiah is one of these priests. He's also a prophet, one who is sent, one who has been placed into this office. And here you have Yahweh speaking to Jeremiah, saying, do not say that you're only a youth, because I am sending you. That's why you should not say this. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command, you shall speak. And then later on, near the end of the chapter, verse 17, again, the word of Yahweh says, dress yourself for work, arise and say to them everything I command you. So there's something very important here with the sending and the commanding. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the sending of the prophets who speak what God has given them to speak, what God has commanded, of course, always points to the incarnation. And we have that the Son is sent by the Father, and he only speaks what the Father has given him to speak. And that picture, that image of all the prophets being sent is a portrayal of the mystery of the incarnation. But even more profound than that is this understanding that Yahweh is the one who sends, and the word of Yahweh is Yahweh. This is the Son. The Son is Yahweh. The Son is the one who sends all the prophets. You'll see this in Matthew chapter 23, particularly when Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town. And in the same chapter of Matthew 23, Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? But you would not come. You would be not willing. And this is the Jerusalem that will be destroyed. So just like Jeremiah is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, Jesus will talk about the destruction of Jerusalem. But Jesus here is saying he's the one who has been sending the prophets. He sends the prophets so that they can be repented, that they could be converted and turn and be saved. And throughout the whole Old Testament, now we see a picture that it's none other than the Son of God, the only begotten Son who has been sending all the prophets. And in the New Testament, he's the one who then sends the apostles. So just like you have prophets like Jeremiah, who was from the womb, who was sent out, well, of course, you have Paul the apostle, or even John the baptizer from the womb, who was sent out and consecrated as a prophet. But in particular, you have Jesus in John 20, after the resurrection, saying that, you know, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. So this is what Christ does with the apostles. For an apostle is a sent one. That's what the Greek word means. Or even more evident is in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus sends the apostles to all nations. Jeremiah, of course, is a prophet to the nations, and he sends the apostles to all the nations in Matthew 28, saying that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So here Jesus is sending out the apostles, and he ties it together with speaking what he has commanded them to speak. Just like when Jeremiah was sent by the word of God to speak what he has been commanded to speak.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll take a break. We're doing our series, Christ in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 1, the call of Jeremiah. When we come back, the words, I am with you, if we can miss Christ in those, we're really doing it wrong. It's Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is a follow-up to a previous book. The book before was called I Am Not Afraid, and it was a book about demon possession and spiritual warfare. The follow-up is called Afraid because there are many people who are in the grip of fear, having believed Satan's lies in whatever form it comes. And this kind of spiritual warfare is of vital importance, especially in an America that is increasingly spiritual, but not in a Christian way. You can find out more about Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America by Dr. Robert Bennett at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, today, Jeremiah chapter 1, The Call of Jeremiah. Now, we'd really have to drop the ball not to see Christ in the words, I am with you, here in Jeremiah, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we definitely would. I mean, you have this twice in this chapter. In verse 8, do not be afraid of them, those opponents, those who are trying to prevent God's kingdom from coming. Why? Because God promises, I am with you to deliver you. And of course, in verse 19, the same thing. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. Why? Because I am with you to deliver you. Now, this is this incarnational language. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. This is tied directly to that last chapter of Matthew in which Christ sends out the apostles, and they are to preach what he has commanded, and he gives them that promise. I am with you always to the end of the age. So this is that promise of the presence of Christ in the midst of this fallen creation that is in opposition to God, that we are not to be afraid, as you're just talking about this book. Though we are in this world, the world has been overcome by Christ. And so he says, I give to you peace. I leave you peace, not like the world gives to you, but this peace between you and God, and your heart should not be troubled, and you should not be afraid. And when Christ sends them out in John chapter 20 in the resurrection, he says, peace be with you, because he's giving them this peace, because they're not going to fight against flesh and blood, but they're waging this war against these spiritual dominions of darkness. And God promises to be with them, and that's all this incarnational language as they've been sent out.
Okay, the next place is, as you kind of keeping with the incarnational theme here, which is constant as we look at Christ in the Old Testament, is the use of the word hand. His hand touched my mouth. What's going on there?
Well, this is interesting on a lot of levels. So we'll kind of pick this apart one by one. First of all, anytime you see this anthropomorphic imagery that's used of a hand or an ear or an eye or a mouth, that God takes these forms here, this is always going to point toward the incarnation, this mystery of the incarnation, that God eventually will become one of us and dwell with us. He will tabernacle. And that's first of all, primarily, anytime you see this, it's going to point towards that mystery of the incarnation. But here is something that's even more profound than that, is this uniqueness that the hand is going to be put out in order to touch his mouth. Now, why is he going to touch the mouth? Well, the mouth, this is the problem that Jeremiah is concerned with. He can't speak. He doesn't know what to say. He's only a youth. In other words, the mouth is not working the way that it should. So this image and this picture that we have of the Lord putting out his hand to touch his mouth is that image of the hand that heals the mouth so that the mouth can do properly what God has intended it to do. And we'll see this in all the healing miracles of Jesus when he heals those who cannot speak. The mute, now when Jesus touches them, they are able to speak. And they're able to put God's word upon their lips and rejoice in the wonders that God has done. And all of this is that picture of the incarnation of what's taking place. But as we continue to look at this even further, what is even more striking is this word put out is actually send. It's this Hebrew word shalach. It's the same Hebrew word that was just used for sending Jeremiah as a prophet. So when we see that picture of sending, we always see the picture that God is trying to teach us of how the Father sends the Son, that the Word of God will be sent and will accomplish what God has sent the Word to do. And this is what Christ is. He is the Word. He is the hand of Yahweh. He has been sent. So the hand is being sent to Jeremiah in order to restore Jeremiah's mouth. And, of course, this is this picture we have of Christ coming in the flesh to restore our corrupted nature and fallen humanity. So in the Old Testament, when you have this language of the hand of Yahweh, this is always teaching us that Christ himself is the right hand of God according to his deity, his divinity. Now, according to his humanity, Christ is exalted to the right hand of God in the ascension. And you'll have that picture of hand used kind of these twofold ways, to either teach to us the divinity of Christ and or the humanity of Christ, the two natures united in the one Christ.
On a darker note, you say we also find Christ in the Old Testament here as the one forsaken by Jerusalem. Where is that?
Here's the issue. The reason why Jeremiah is sent is because the people of God have forsaken God. And so the word says, I will declare my judgments against them for all the evil in forsaking me. They have turned from God. They have looked to all this contemporary worship. They reject his promises. They embrace this new worship. And so because they have forsaken God, God forsakes them, and that's the destruction of Jerusalem, and they hand it over to Babylon. But they will return from Babylon, which of course is then a picture of Jesus who comes to Jerusalem like Jeremiah, but then Jesus himself is forsaken. forsaken. And so when we see the picture of Yahweh being forsaken, this is pointing to Jesus being forsaken on the cross, and it's on the cross when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, Christ is then forsaken on the cross so that we can once again be reconciled with the Father and be brought back out of captivity to any of the dominions of the devil.
Then finally, with only about a minute and a half here, you say that we see Christ in the promise that the gates of Hades will not prevail. Where do we find that there in Jeremiah chapter 1?
Well, this is interesting. In Jeremiah 1, you have the imagery of cities and of course, kingdoms, and these are always what's in opposition to God's city and God's kingdom. And it's Jerusalem that's a city that's in opposition to God. And so God now tells Jeremiah that I'm going to make you a fortified city, an iron pillar with bronze walls, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail. And this idea that you have Jeremiah going against the city of Jerusalem. Well, this, of course, is Jesus who goes against the city of Jerusalem. And then Jesus, of course, says that he's going to build his church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So any earthly kingdom that tries to prevent God's kingdom from coming will be destroyed and will be overthrown, will be plucked up, and will be broken down.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, as I said just a moment ago, to miss Christ here in this Old Testament prophet, he is the word that comes to him. He is the one who makes these promises to the prophet, even in the midst of the ancient peoples, ancient Israel's rebellion against God. Jeremiah, who weeps over the sin and weeps over the wrath that is to come upon God's people on account of their rebellion, at the same time holds out hope and is encountered by the hope himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. We'll talk tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can receive 50% off the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series during Logia's special Reformation Sale. Books like The Church by Professor Kurt Marquardt, Christology, Law and Gospel and the Means of Grace, and Baptism by Dr. David Scare, and Eschatology by Dr. John Stevenson. Browse before you buy at logia.org. You'll even find essays by Issues Etc. regular guests for as low as $2. Logia's Reformation Sale, logia.org, logia.org.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.